I want to pick up again from Colleen sharing this morning. This was a coordinated thing. Just so that you don't think I'm really amazing, thinking I'm picking up on in the spirit what Colleen was saying. It was already coordinated. Okay, I'll just God's field and God's building. As we mature in Christ, we become God's co-workers. But right from day one, we're God's field and we're God's building all together. So if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Father, we thank you that as we just get into your word this morning for this little bit of time, we just pray that you'd illuminate that which needs to be released and embedded in our hearts. We pray we'd have open hearts to receive your word, honor your word, that it would be mixed with faith in us and it would do a work in us. And it would result in a flow out of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 verse 8. Is this microphone working all right? All good, PJ? Yep. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10. Fantastic worship time. Thank you for leading us. So he's there at times. Oh, that's Rob. Yeah, get into it, Rob. That's awesome. And just great spirit in the worship and just so grateful. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? And that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, not of the attempts to somehow please God by keeping the ceremonies and the rituals, lest anyone should boast. But verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's amazing. So we're not saved by works, by the works of our attempts to be somehow dealing with our guilt and shame and trying to outweigh the bad by doing some good and all the things that people do in their minds to think they're going to somehow get some favor with God or the gods, Jesus, for good works. Well, it's not a contradiction. Everybody say it's not a contradiction. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Really interesting. Passion Translation puts it this way. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Christ, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. We know in John chapter 14, verse 12, I think it is, Jesus making the statement, if anybody believes in me, as the scripture has said, these things shall he do, and even greater things shall he do, because I go to the Father. Incredible statement. They are the works of the Word. They are the works of the Spirit of God working in us. They are the works of the fruit of the Spirit. They are the works of the gifts of the Spirit. They are the works of the compassion that's in us. They are the works of our love that is in us. They are the works of the presence of God that are in us. They are the works, and other things, but they are the works that we get to live in and walk in, not to get saved, but because we're saved. Because we're one with him, because we're united to him, because we have the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling and living in us, we get to do things. We get to walk in a calling. We get to pray for people. We get to minister to people. We get to command a demon to go. We get to encourage a person who's hopeless. And we get to teach a person, instruct a person who's struggling with life, and they come into some wisdom that we've learned from the Lord, and we get to share that with them. All of these things and many, many more are the things that are the song. I have a river of life flowing out from me. Anybody remember that song? Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out from me. It's an understanding portrayed or spoken of in that song, that once the river of God, the presence and power of God is in us, there's going to be something that'll flow out of us. And that flow will be in all sorts of ways. It'll be serving, it'll be helping people, ministry fundamentally is serving people. It's the very fundamental dimension of ministry is serving people. Anybody who's called or called to a fivefold dimension of ministry, it's all about serving people. It's about equipping people. It's about enabling people. It's about teaching people. It's about serving people that they are raised up and lifted up in their calling and the things they're called to do so they are fruitful in the Lord. It's about serving people. We're called to lead something. It's about serving them with our leadership. So we for the community in some way. So all ministry is serving. If we have a twisted idea about what leadership means, that it's about being able to boss people around, that it's the fun of calling the shots, that it's the thrill of seeing people respond to our voice and do something, so it gives us a sense of power, there's actually something unhealed or something twisted or something in us that actually needs to be shifted and changed. There needs to be an attitude shift. There needs to be an insecurity healed. There needs to be an attitude change. Because we're not here to do that. Sometimes a command does need to be given when it's something important that needs to be done. But it's never with the attitude that I just love commanding people. It's all about what it's all about. Jesus said, "Brack of a whip." We're not to be of that spirit. Lording it over people. We're not to be of that spirit. Because whatever we are doing in life in Christ, fundamentally it's about serving people. Praying for somebody who's ill, it's about serving them. Casting out demons, it's about serving the person who's being set free. Ministering wisdom to somebody, it's about serving them so they can live a more wise life and see more fruitfulness and blessing in their relationships. Helping somebody facilitate a group where people are taught and encouraged and fellowship together, it's about serving them for their good. So it's all about servanthood. And the thing about servanthood, you don't need a degree, you don't need a PhD, you don't need any other set of letters. You just need an attitude that says, I want to help people. And then because we're connected in the Lord, now it's about co-laboring with Him and being a... genuinely is my Lord, my Savior, my very best friend, my older brother, my Redeemer, my everything that He is to me. I want to be about what He's building. Because Jesus is very passionate and very dedicated about what He's building, or to what He's building. He said, I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so I want to be about what Jesus is building. Jesus expressed this attitude when He went to Jerusalem that time and it was His time for His bar mitzvah or His presenting to society as a young man in His own right and around about the age of 12 or 13 in that feast time. And then of course, He stayed back in Jerusalem when His parents were heading back to where they were living, and after a while, the parents realized, the fear that might have gripped Mary, the fear, and who knows what domestics they might have had. I thought you were keeping an eye on them. I thought you were keeping an eye on them. But when they finally find Him in the temple, talking with the scholars and the lawyers, they said, why have you done this to us? Where have you been? Didn't you know I'd be about my Father's business? They didn't understand that. So Jesus, from a young age, understood that His life was about His Father's business. And so as people, as the saints of God, as believers, as followers of Christ, there's a couple of things we need to grow in the understanding of our engagement with. One of the great things we need to grow in the understanding of our engagement with is that as followers of Christ, we are engaged in co-laboring with Jesus over every form of doctrine there is. We don't tear it up over those things, or at least we try not to. There are some things we have to challenge. There are some things that as leaders we're responsible for keeping out of the house and keeping in the house. It's part of our role. Shepherds are meant to be looking for wolves in sheep's clothing to protect the flock. They're meant to do that. And so, But it's all about serving. Whether you're serving, wherever we get to serve with an attitude that we're building with Jesus, there'll be dimensions of blessing that'll flow. Every follower of Christ is called. Starts with J, ended up in prison, then became prime minister. Joseph. That was what was amazing about Joseph. Ended up in Potiphar's house, the chief executioner's house. Not long, and the chief executioner sees the quality of his attitudes, the quality of his integrity, and before you know it, he's managing the house. His young wife, who's whatever's going on in her heart, she's really falls in love with him and wants him, lusts after him. Potiphar knows well that even though this young man's been accused of this and this, he knows as the heart of his wife is really, actually, really untrustworthy. That's why he doesn't have him executed, even though he's the chief executioner. He's even serving the prison guards. And the prison guard ends up recognizing this in him and puts him in charge of the stuff to do with the prison. He's there for some time, longer than he would have ever wanted. And then eventually it comes a day because the Pharaoh has a dream. And nobody can figure out the meaning of this dream. And it's a huge, weighty dream. That finally one of the people who've been blessed by Joseph's attitudes and servant-heartedness in the prison said, I know a man in prison who can interpret dreams. The Spirit of God is in him. Or the Spirit of the gods, whatever the language is. And the Pharaoh says, go and get him. And within a day, he goes from a man in prison, to the prime minister of the nation. All of that ends up in the redemption or the salvation of his family. Taken from famine to having abundance, and because of the favor, the next lot of pharaohs don't do well with them, but that pharaoh that Joseph served had great favor toward his whole family. I want to tell you, my friends, when we develop a servant attitude, an attitude that we just want to serve, we want to help people, we want to muck in, we want to make things happen because we're building with Jesus. I want to tell you, my friends, when you're faithful in the small things, God will actually give you greater things to deal with. And it may be in this life, it may not be. And so there's those attitudes that are really, in my view, very foundational for us to develop if we haven't developed them already. You see, in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, it says this, New King James Version, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, and Paul is speaking of Apollos and himself and how the Corinthians, he had a lot of trouble with the Corinthians. He had to write more to them than anybody. I'm of Christ. And they loved the great orators, and some favored Apollos as an orator, some favored Paul, and they just got into these childish divisions. And Paul has to address them and say, look, I planted, Apollos came along and watered, but it was God who brought the growth. That's a little bit of the context. And then in verse 9, he says, for we are God's fellow workers. In other words, he's speaking of Paul and Apollos. We are God's fellow workers. I planted, Apollos watered, God brought the growth. And then he says to them, you are God's field. You are God's building. So there's three metaphors there that he relates to. One is being co-workers. And the thing is that Paul and Apollos were not the only co-workers of God. As we mature, we become more and more. We are God's building. Fields are about plowed or prepared ground or ground that had seeds sown on it. And then the plow, that's in their day, the plowman came along and plowed it, turned over the soil, the seed got buried, and then the rains would come and seed would germinate. That was the field. And, of course, the whole purpose being that the harvest would be far greater than the seed that was sown. That's the whole purpose. And so what do fields need? Well, first and foremost, we're the we're like the field in the sense the seed of the Word of God comes into us when it's mixed with faith that germinates. But in a sense, we're also the seed of God planted in a field called earth, and we rise up like the wheat and in righteousness. And so, and then, of course, eventually there's a harvest and we're gathered into God's barn. There's a metaphor there. But what do fields need? They need graders away from the fields. It'll need, eventually the field will need to go through and be harvested and so on. There's a lot of people engaged in the field, the success of the field. Can I just say this? There's a double issue here. We are the planting of the Lord, but we also help tend the field. We're the planting of the Lord, but we're also tend the field. So we're God's workmanship. We're co-workers. We're God's workmanship, created under good works. We are co-workers with Him as we mature. We are His field, as well as being co-workers with Him in the field. We are His building. Buildings are made, as says, and those living stones are placed into the building, and the building grows up to be a habitation for the presence of God, for the Spirit of the Lord, for a holy habitation. And so there's two issues. We're God's building, so we are living stones built together, but then every building needs to be tended. Every building needs to be maintained. Every building needs to be cleaned. There needs to be things happen. So what is happening in the building of God and the household of God as it's being built up together, there's a lot of things that go on by the people who are part of that house to make the purpose of the house happen. So there's three metaphors, and you may have think I've stretched them a little bit, but I don't believe I have. Every one of us here can be engaged in making the ministry of this house. You say, but I'm really elderly and I'm frail and I can't do much. You can jolly well pray. Your prayer is vital. You may not be able to do this and that and the next thing because your body's not what it used to be. But you can pray. Your spirit is strong. You've still got the Word of God residing in you. You've still got authority in the Spirit through the name of Jesus. You've got confidence in the power of His blood. You've got testimonies of the things that have gone on in your life. You can pray. And your prayer is absolutely vital. Okay? So right from the most senior person whose body isn't what it used to be, who can't get around and do what they used to be able to do, your spirit is alive and well. And you've got faith in your spirit and love in your spirit, and you can pray. You've got conviction in your spirit. We can give some time into helping things, make things happen. Amen? So, quickly moving on, wrapping this up. One of the great key perspectives, and I'll share this briefly, is the perspective of being a family. We've talked about this for the last 30 years. 29 and three-quarter years, whatever it is. One of the first things that came into my heart one day when I was driving out from Canterbury Christian College was there needs to be a shift away from just being a gathering to being family. Now, I'm not saying we've got it all right and we have done it all right and all that sort of thing and didn't know exactly what to do, but all I know is this, that God is so powerfully invested in His family. And I know something, sleep, mess their little naps, and then eventually start giving smiles, which causes the parents to become like jelly. But eventually, over time, as time goes on, they start to learn that they're actually part of a family. And it's not only about receiving, but it's also about participating. And then they start to do things that are about helping. And some little children just love to help from an earliest little age. Some little children take a while to cotton on to that's actually what's expected of me now. Yeah, 35, you know. But I'll tell you this. The person who does not learn in some sort of a family environment, whatever that family is, that they're not just receivers, but they're participators and they're contributors, as they remain with an attitude of entitlement. And it'll come out in attitudes. It'll come out in actions. It'll come out in the withholding of help. It'll come out in the withholding of giving resource into the life of the family, because fundamentally the person has not matured through to realizing they're actually a vital contributor in this family. They're still a consumer. And that, my friends, is immaturity. So in the family of God, one of the things we will provoke each other to do is we'll provoke each other unto good works. It's very biblical. We will spur each other along to love people and serve people. And so I remember Christmas lunch, which was usually a big event. Us boys had the role of potting the peas, peeling the potatoes, and there'll be a few other things as well. And so that's what we did. So I remember as a three-year-old trying to pod peas, mixed with varying degrees of success. Some of them probably end up crushed. But I was learning to pod peas. I wasn't old enough to handle a knife yet, so I didn't get to peel potatoes. But then next year, I was able to pod peas, and when Mum came along and said, "Keep whistling, boys." Anybody ever got told that by your mum when you're podding peas? One for the pot, three for me. And you can't whistle when you've got a mouthful of peas. And so Mum would say, "Keep whistling, boys." In other words, don't eat more peas than, you know, you know what I'm saying, don't you? So all of those little things, but each one of us from an early age learned that we were there to contribute as well as be somebody who has the fun. Who remembers the story of the little red hen? Wave your hand if you know the story of the little red hen. Some of us need to get the book. Who used to listen to it on national radio on children's request hour in the morning? That's showing our age, isn't it? You know. The little red hen, along with Sparky and the little, you know, "Hello, Sparky, hello, Sparky." "The train can't talk, son." And so, but all these messages are important messages that we're actually growing and maturing to become contributors and servants of others. Weekly kind of things, monthly kind of things. But at the end of the day, when we all muck in and we all have an attitude to help where we can and what's appropriate and so on, we make things happen. And not only that, you actually get the joy of working alongside other people, and you get to know other people much better than you would normally. There's something very right about working alongside somebody, putting your hands to something and making something happen. Something very, very right about it. It's actually very family of God. So as we grow out of being consumers and we become mature sons and daughters, one of the things we get to do is to serve one another. And it says, Jesus said, when you're faithful in little, in Luke chapter 19, verse 17, because you've been faithful in little, come and rule over 10 cities. Somebody said, "I don't want to rule over 10 cities." Well, whatever. Because that's going to really help build his family and really help fulfill the mission. Let's all stand. Now, this is not a call for everybody for you to put your hand up and come and volunteer. I just wanted to, Colleen and I just wanted to deliver that to you. And so, Father, today, I want to thank you, Lord, that we are maturing. Lord, we began as little babes. And Lord, then we go through a process of the things that have to be cast off, cast away. The transformation, the change. And Lord, as we go and as we embark on that journey, we also embark away from the issue of just being a consumer, just being entitled. We're not working to be saved. We're contributing out of the wonder of your salvation for us and your presence in us and the fact we're co-workers and co-heirs with Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Pray for your word to settle in every heart. In Jesus' name. And if you're watching online or you're in here and you haven't received Christ yet, you haven't given your life to the Lord yet, or maybe you once kind of walked with him, kind of you were in some sort of church somewhere or whatever, but something happened and you drifted away. Maybe you got offended. Maybe you got disillusioned. Whatever happened, or maybe you just got plain seduced. And now you know that it's time you've got to get back to be in him and be with God again. Be belonging to him again. Maybe you're in here, maybe you're in the lounge, maybe you're online. But if they introduce you to Jesus and receive him into your life, he's going to call you to turn away from some stuff called sin. It's called repentance. Because that stuff's wanted to destroy you and people connected to you. Wanted to rob you of a future, an eternal future. So he will call you to repent. So will I. But first and foremost, it's about your faith. It's about your trust. It's about putting your trust in the Lord. If that's you, come on up. Just come up and stand here with me. If you're online today, or if you're in the lounge, just stretch out your hands toward the screen. Every one of us is going to pray in this room. We're going to stretch out our hands to the cameras if you can. And just follow me in prayer right now. Father, in Jesus' name, as I stand here today, I open my heart to you. And I ask you to come into my life. Make me your child. Welcome me into your family. I receive your forgiveness and your salvation now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you prayed that online or in the lounge, please be in touch with us. Please communicate. We'd love to connect with you and be of a help to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Right now, we just thank you for these beautiful people. Thank you for the rest of the day that's ahead of us. Time of your presence, time of family, time of friendship, time of whatever it is. And I pray your blessing on every life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us online. God bless.